Mr. Charles Evans joining. Hi, Charles. Welcome.
Hi, Glenn. How are you?
Fine, thanks. You will be in Lisbon, won't you?
Sorry? Again, Glenn?
You will be in Lisbon, won't you?
Yes, this time. So I didn't attend any of the ICANN meetings in 2006, but in Lisbon, I'll be there.
Oh, good, good. Charles, when are you arriving?
I'm arriving Sunday, 25th. Is it Sunday?
Yes, that's right, yes.
25th, around noon.
Around noon, okay. So you will eventually, because we start the GTLD IDN discussion in the morning with the council.
Yes.
But perhaps Ram will talk about that on the call.
Okay, I'll try to come fast, because I think my plane exactly lands on around 10:30 or 11.
So yes, that's good.
Fast, so I can be there around noon or before a little bit.
That's right, yes. Because the airport isn't far from the hotel. It's about 20 minutes.
That's good. That's good, too.
And it's not so expensive either. It's about 10 euros.
Oh, 10 euros. Oh, that's good.
Yes. Yes.
Too many emails today.
Too many?
Too many emails, because we are very close now to the draft, so we have to.
And all the discussion on the list has been fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody still here seems yet?
No, it's only the two of us, because you were called out too.
Yes, yes. Yeah, we still have officially 2 minutes even to be one. It's not one here, one my time, of course.
No, that's right. We still got to make it one your time. It's going to be 12 here.
Ram Mohan joins.
Welcome, Ram.
Good morning. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Ram. This is Charles. How are you?
Hi there. Good to see you on the call again, Charles.
Thank you. I'm sorry I couldn't see more, but really the situation, although you changed the time for me, I know, but the last week or the 2 weeks before, I had an event which I was supposed to be with you, but I had to...
Excuse me, Olaf Nordling now joins.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Olaf.
Hello, Glenn.
Have you got the meeting view, Olaf?
No.
I sent it to you.
Oh, well, yeah, I haven't checked.
And I sent it to you also, Ram.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Olaf, if you could keep a track of the participants, please, because I, as I said, will only be on for about the first hour.
Right. Now let's see here.
What's the conference number?
The conference number is 368-9099.
Okay. Let's see now.
This is Avery. I just joined.
Hi, Avery. Welcome.
Hi. Hi.
Where are you?
I'm in Prague.
Oh, that's nice.
Welcome, Avery.
Yep. Thank you.
Apologies from Paul Diaz. Edmund, welcome.
Welcome, Edmund.
Glenn?
Yes?
Please resend me the link to the meeting here.
Okay.
Five Cat Patron.
Welcome.
Hello.
Do we have a new document for this meeting, or are we still working on the previous one?
I have not seen a new document, Aubrey.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I had the right stuff.
You always did.
Hello?
There is a noise coming from the line of Ms. Adli Voya. It keeps coming going. I'll be muting the line. I may...
Will you take her out of the conference and tell her, please?
Certainly, I will, thank you.
Her name is Doria, D-O-R-I-A. Avery, A-V-R-I.
Doria.
Doria, D-O-R-I-A.
I'll do that, madam. Thank you.
Thank you.
Glenn?
Yes, Ron?
There is an email to you from Steve Crocker asking if he could be called at the Hilton in Prague. He has given the number.
Oh, okay. I'll do that. Thanks.
I'm surprised there are so few people on today's call, considering the volume of them.
Rob, it's called this all affair. It's called management by exhaustion.
Well, excuse me, when I start this journey now, thank you. Yes, Julia, can you? Yes.
Hello.
Hello, Rana.
Hi.
Olaf, you have a task on your hand, compiling everything together, but I'm glad that at least we're I found it
relatively... Excuse me, Alexis, also now is joining now, thank you.
Operator?
Yes?
I'm on the line now, madam, yes?
Yes, thank you. Can you please call out to Mr. Steve Crocker, S-T-E-V-E, C-R-O-C-K-E-R, and his number is, it's in Prague, it's
420-224-841-111.
That's right. 41's at the end. And the room number is 7082.
7082.
Yes.
Doria Avery on the line again. I spoke with the lady. I'm confused now. I'm calling from a computer. That could be my noise coming into the line.
Okay. Is it still coming in?
It's still coming in. Yeah. Could you use your phone while you're not speaking? Maybe that could help. That's much better.
Much better.
Hello.
Hi, welcome. We'll get started
Hi.
In a minute.
Okay, this is your office. Hi.
Thank you. I'll just call Mr. Steve Crocker now, and then I will start the recordings once you're ready. But just a moment. Thank you.
Welcome, yours.
Hey, Glenn, this is Tina joining.
Hi, Tina. Welcome.
Welcome, Tina.
Thanks.
We'll get started in just a couple of minutes, folks. Olaf, I was just commenting that I found it relatively not too bad following threads, because we were numbering, each comment by thread. That worked out well for me.
Yeah, that's actually, I agree, Ram. It has enabled me to sort of pile it up in various piles of various degrees of agreement, and where some are concluded, but others are certainly not.
Right. Before the call recording starts, Olaf, one of the things that I'd like to do today is I'm going to depend on you a little heavily.
Mr. Stephen Cock is joining. Thank you.
Welcome, Steve.
Thank you.
One of the things that I'm going to do, ask you, Olaf, is as we go through the document to where to have you point out where the changes have been and what the changes are, so that folks have a sense of what's going on. Obviously, much of these changes are available on the mailing list, but it can be a little bit of a challenge to follow the entire cut and thrust that has happened over the last few days.
Indeed, and it's a challenge for anybody, including me. So, I'll certainly do so. And, I trust that I'll be corrected if I miss out on something.
Excellent. Folks, we're going to get started here. Glenn, could you begin the recording of the call, please?
I'll do that for you, Ron.
I'll do that, madam. Thank you. I have started recordings. Please go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Welcome, everyone, to the final IDN working group call before this working group disbands in Lisbon. I appreciate all of your being on this call. We have a relatively short agenda in front of us. We have an IDN working group draft outcomes report document to go through. And our task is to today finish up on any areas where we had agreement and which wasn't finalized, and then to swiftly go through the areas where we have had changes to or suggestions for new support or alternative view requests, to have brief but succinct discussions on those, and end up with decisions on what we want to do. I don't plan on us doing a huge amount of wordsmithing on the call. I'd much rather have folks' views be provided and then depend upon Olaf to come up with some suggested wording. The goal is to release a document tomorrow to the GNSO Council for review, which means that there's a great deal of work that has to be accomplished today, and I suspect that by the time we do get a report out tomorrow, it'll be late in the day tomorrow when we get the report out. I have also to bring to your attention a couple of administrative details. The first is that I'd request for all working group members to please publish to the working group mailing list their statements of interest. I have been delinquent in reminding all of you to do this, but I would like to do so that before the end of this week, I would like for everybody who's participated on this mailing list and on the working group to have published their statement of interest. Glenn, if you could please make a note of this, and if you could please send a note out to the working group requesting them with a deadline of this Friday, and if you could also follow up on it after that to make sure that those who have not submitted it, that those names are published to the list so that they get an opportunity to submit their statements of interest.
Okay, I'll do that, Ron.
I appreciate it. The second thing is I would like to bring to your attention a document that Sophia had forwarded to the group earlier in the week, which is the Reserve Names Working Group's final outcomes report. And the input from the IDN working group is already incorporated in there, but I'll just point it out once again that there is
specific information provided in that document. If you feel there is something that is grossly inaccurate in that document, please write to me and contact me directly and immediately. The last administrative item is I will bring to your attention that about 20 minutes ago, Liz Williams has posted to our working group the GNSO new TLDs and the various principles, six principles, and 20 recommendations, some of which have IDN relevance, and I bring it to your attention because there has been discussion in the last few days about things that the IDN working group should be doing, and as Tina has pointed out, some of the suggestions are already incorporated in the new TLDs document, both in the principles as well as in the recommendations. So with that being said, our agenda today is pretty straightforward. We're going to spend about an hour going through the rest of the document, and then you know, probably another 15 or 20 minutes in final wrap-up mode and getting prepared for Lisbon. The Lisbon plan is the following. We will publish the document. I will be in Lisbon starting Saturday morning. And I think there are a number of consultations that are going to be held. There's a face-to-face meeting that is also being planned. And in addition to that, I'm sure there will be many more sessions and discussions on IDNs in Lisbon. Some of these are going to be webcast, others are not. I'll refer you to ICANN staff for the full details on it, or the website for full details on it. with all of that being said, I'd like to take us to the document at hand. We have not published a new version of the document because the changes have been coming fast and furious into the mailing list. And what we're doing is really focusing on the final document rather than keep bringing out interim versions of the document, given that we have a published deadline of tomorrow. What I would like to do at this point is to ask Olaf if you could please walk through any new agreements that we have come up with, and if there are any other agreements that we have not gone through that we need to go through. I do not want to revisit agreements that we've already discussed and frankly agreed upon before. But if there are new ones that we brought up, I know I suggested elevating at least one topic to an agreement. There were others, some voices that had supported it, but I want to bring it up for the call today. And then we go from there. Before I hand over this task to you, Olaf, I would ask if, Glenn, you could do a roll call.
Certainly, Ram. On the line, we have yourself, Olaf Nordling, and Tina Dam as staff. We have Avery Doria, Edmund Chung, Terry Karp, Werner Staub, Alexei Sozonov, Yoav Kieran, Steve Crocker, Maniam, and Subaya.
Thank you, Glenn. Okay, Olaf, what new agreements are there, or what agreements still remain that have not been brought in front of our working group on a conference call and require discussion?
I think we should, if we take them sequentially in the order of the last draft, I think we can start with 4.1.1. Where there was a proposal from Sophia, and Ram, I think you concluded that there was a support for that could be elevated to support, and that is actually to take one of the alternative views under the 1/2 support statement under 4.1.1, notably to resolve IDN policy issues before launch of application round.
I guess my thought is let us first finish up on all the ones that have agreement before we go to the support ones.
Okay. Well, which means that I will have to reshuffle it a little bit.
Can I ask a question just in terms of a basic principle, Gary?
Yes.
There are some things that we are spending words on that are going to happen, whether we recommend them or not. And I wonder if we could either treat that last when we know that we have enough time, or simply as a matter of principle not bother stating things that there are no alternatives to.
Understand, Kerry. I'm fine with that. Let us hit them as we get to each of those topics. Let us just bring it up, and we can dispatch it quickly.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. If we then look at the agreements, we have the agreements that were agreed upon and were posted to the list for verification. There has not been any pushback on those.
Right. Yeah, we're going to stick with those that have already been agreed upon. The question is, are there new
joins?
Yeah, right. But just to give some feedback, because I think there were three agreements which were posted to the list, and none of them provoked any dissent. So I take it that those are agreed upon, and there were slight rewordings of, for example, 5.1 and alinea 2 in one and such. But okay, let's proceed to see what has happened on the other agreements. There has been, now let's see if I proceed. Well, there was one addition, and like you say, and I'm just reshuffling the whole thing. 3.3, and that was a proposal from you to elevate the support statement for pursuing compliance with ICANN IDN guidelines to agreement, and that's been seconded. But I would nevertheless a certain rephrasing of it. Now it reads, in your proposal, agreement all new IDN GTLD applicants must comply with ICANN IDN guidelines. I think it's the applicant may or may not comply, but it's once they become registered to comply. Agreement new IDN the registries must comply with ICANN IDN guidelines, would be my suggestion.
This is a type example of what I'm wondering if we really need to include at all. This is boilerplate contract text that's been imposed on all of the registries that aside with ICANN. We don't need to worry about it not being imposed in an IDN case.
I'm comfortable leaving it out if Tina is. I know that in the past Tina had suggested that we do. It doesn't hurt to add it in. So I'm going to pose the so there's a recommendation here to leave it out altogether. And I'm wondering, Tina, if you have a perspective on it.
No, I think that's fine if you want to leave it out.
Okay. Is there any disagreement to leaving this out? Are there any dissenters? So the proposal on the table is to actually take the 4.3.3 and remove it altogether because it is moot. If you become an approved IDN GTLD registry operator under the ICANN, you will be required contractually to comply with the guidelines. So what we're saying is kind of redundant.
Ram?
Yeah.
Tobiah here. If it's redundant, what's wrong with leaving it in there?
Can I answer that? There is a finite amount of attention that is going to be paid to these hundreds of pages of reports that council is about to wade through. And if we want to minimize the likelihood of them seeing things that are important, then we can put in all the redundant stuff we want. If we want to maximize the likelihood of them seeing what's important, then we can probably dispense with things that are redundant.
I would like to be on cue. Was Carrie on cue?
Go ahead, Subhaya.
Thank you. All right. The point is, we've spent more time, I understand the point, but we spent more time discussing whether this is moot or not than just leaving it in there and moving on right now, because if it's moot, who cares?
I care. Sorry to burst break into the queue.
This is Edmund.
Yes. Edmund, go ahead.
I think it's in 4.5.1, we already addressed the IDN guidelines, so removing it from 4.3.3 is, in fact, appropriate.
May I say something again?
Yes,
this is Aubrey. Can I get in this queue?
Sure. Subhaya, then Aubrey.
Okay. I'm not hung up on this. I'm just simply saying that some of us have made comments on this group about whether this is important or not. And if you are absolutely certain that this is actually covered somewhere else because there are documents out there, then, you know, we'll take it on your word. But what if it isn't the case? That's the point. So redundancy covers that. That's all. Aubrey.
Thank you. Aubrey?
Okay, yeah. I mean, I understand what Carrie's saying, but I see no guarantees that just because there are IDN principles that a contract can't be written so as to exempt some particular contract from living up to them. So I'm not so sure that it's a given or that it's a foregone conclusion.
Can you put Carrie in the queue, please, Rob?
Sure. Go ahead, Carrie. And you have the floor.
Okay. If it should be true that a registry can figure out how to avoid this particular contract wording, what overriding authority does a recommendation made by a working group have over that situation? The ability to avoid boilerplate, I think, somehow suggests the ability to dodge any bullets that might be fired from pistols that we are holding in this particular context.
Folks, this is Ram. I think I'm going to put an end to this particular topic because 4.5.1, as Edmund pointed out, quite clearly states that new GTLD registries must conform to the IDN guidelines and must publish their language tables in the IANA registry. That is already there. We've already agreed on it. So I move right now that we delete 4.3.3 altogether since it's already covered in 4.5.1. Any other dissent? Thank you. Olaf, what's next?
When it comes to agreements, I don't see any additional agreement here, but well, maybe I've sorted things wrongly then in sequential order here.
No problem. And if you find something, you know, down the road, we'll get there. So that then concludes all the agreements that we need to discuss, which is I will say to you that I feel quite relieved about that because that means that we can actually get to the support statements and we will have, you know, in the GNSO report, we will be able to show that our group did come to agreement on a number of areas across the board. Thank you, everybody, for your contributions and for your assistance in getting us to this point. Now, back to you, Olaf. Let's go to the support statements, and let's go through the first ones and, you know, back to where you were earlier before I kind of tried to move you to finish up on the agreements.
Right, with pleasure. And then we come to 4.1.1, I'm just working it sequentially here, where there was a proposal from Sofia to move one of the alternative views under 4.1.1, the third support statement, and the second alternative view to resolve IDN policy issues before launch of application round, and that would be elevated to support. What's your suggestion? And I ready and willing to do so, although there is a slight inconsistency with the very first support statement then for avoiding hostage situations. So I want to highlight that it is proposed to be a support statement, preferably be consistent with each other.
So 4.1.1, could you read out the modified statements one by one, and let's have discussion?
Yes. The very first, support for avoiding hostage situations in planning, it's as stated before, planning a new non-IBM GTLD application round. Neither non-IBM GTLDs nor IBM GTLDs should be delayed due to the other.
Okay, great. Let's just hold that for a second. Is there any discussion on this first support statement?
Yes, Ram, this is Charles. If I put me in the queue.
Yes, and you have the floor.
Thank you, Ram. I think what Olaf said is correct. On the mailing list, we noticed that the alternative view, most of the people who sent their notes said that they want to make it to support. So I think this will be opposite to this view. So I think this, if we want to move to resolve IDN policy issues before launch of application round to be a support statement, we should move this to be an alternative view. So somehow we are changing them.
Understood. Thank you. Let me then ask Olaf, could you read out what is suggested as a support, you know, the promotion from alternative to support view, and then let us discuss resolving the inconsistency one from the other.
Right. Well, the support statement promoted from alternative view is then support for resolving IBM policy issues before launch of application round.
Olaf, I'm sorry, this is Tina. I didn't get that. Could you do that one more time?
Oh, yes. Support for resolving IBM policy issues before launch of application round.
It currently states as an alternative view that IDN policy issues before launch of application, new GTLD application round. But what we have here is a proposal to promote the alternative view to actually support that says, so the new statement would say, support that IDN policy issues be resolved before accepting or before the launch of IDN GTLDs.
Subhaya would like to be in the queue.
This is Werner, I would like to be in the queue.
Okay, Subhaya first, and then Werner.
Go ahead. Yeah. My view on the topic is that IDN, I understand that there are conflict issues, there are possible, you know, cross-interactions between, in a limited way, between IDN GTLD launch and non-IDN GTLD launch. But my view is that before any IDN GTLDs are launched, all IDN policy criteria should be set. Now, if that means that in some cases that the ASCII round of GTLD applications have to go forward, even though there's some potential limited conflict views, conflicts with, doing that way, which the English goes first and the IDNs later, then we'll just have to live with that. I mean, so it resolves that hostage situation if you say that, look, we're going to try to make both go together, but if it doesn't, then, the English can go ahead and then IDN will wait till all the policy issues are fixed, even though there may be some cross-interactions, minimal.
Thank you, Subhaya. Werner?
The problem with resolving policy issues is that we don't know all the policy issues. And we know that some of the policy issues are things that would be confined to a given kind of problem, such as, to give you an example, the treatment of accents in Greek, which is quite different to the treatment of accents in or the other declarative characters in typical Latin-based languages. And again, which does not exist at all in our geographic languages. Now, even if we talk about the problem of resolving all the IDN issues within the scope of IDN, it is actually overkill to request that we treat all the policy issues and hold up, for instance, a simple Chinese IEN on the basis of a discussion about the Greek S, or, you know, the Greek tonic and diacritics, or Latin diacritic marks. It just does not make sense to require that everybody wait until all the issues that could be possibly associated with one specific detail would be resolved. Now, if you extend that to the to all GTLE and say that the round should sort of be halted, we have the best way to prevent the introduction of any IDN TLE and other GTLEs for the next 5 years.
I would like to be in the queue.
Okay, I am back again.
Yeah,
there's somebody who wanted to speak. I thought I heard somebody after Werner.
That was Edmund.
Edmund, okay. Who is that?
Edmund,
Charles,
go ahead.
Okay, Edmund and then Charles, okay? Edmund.
Well, in general, I think, I don't think we should support both. I just want to say that I don't think we should support both sort of statements. It seems to me fairly clear that they are contradicting, and would just, in my point of view, I would support the initial one that was on the paper, the original one that listed as support.
The original one, as in avoiding hostage situations and planning new non-IDN GTLE application round.
Correct.
Okay, thank you, Edmund. Charles.
Yes, I'm with the other, I'm unlike Edmund. I like the change better for two main reasons. I understand what Werner said. He's totally correct. But this will make... will make us move faster in IDN so as not to hold everything, including ASCII, I think. This is one of the advantages. Plus another issue, which is having more ASCII GTLDs. Well, this is my personal view, of course. We already have enough for me, but I know that some people say we still have 70, we have to have 75 or even 100 maybe, or something like this. But this will make an additional burden on the businesses and intellectual property people and so on, just to reserve names as a protection, as everybody knows. So I think the need now more for IDN, more than the additional ASCII. Thank you.
Thank you, Charles. Can you put Carrie in the queue, please, Ron?
No, I thought I was really...
hold on.
Subaya, on the queue, please.
But hold on, Subaya, and let me just find out who else wants to be in the queue before I give you the floor.
Yoav or someone?
Yoav wants to be in the queue. Kerry wants to be in the queue. Okay. Thank you. Subaya, you have the floor?
Yeah, I agree with Werner on that, you know, just one language shouldn't hold up the other languages. So maybe the way to get out here is to keep the notion that IDN policy has to be, you know, fully settled, for a given language before it's launched, you know, so that solves the problem, you know. So you know, if you're going to launch any IDN string, you know, corresponding to a language, then it clearly should, the issues for that should be resolved, any related issues for that should be resolved fully before it goes out. I mean, in a way, if we extend this, for those languages that don't exactly end Unicode yet, well, we can't launch them anyway, right? So in a way, it's consistent with that, where any language is prepared to be able to go forward.
Thank you, Subaya. Kerry.
I agree, certainly in principle, with the kinds of things Werner is talking about, but I note that these are all issues that attach to the protocol rather than to the policy component of all of this. And if we simply accept that the protocol modification is being made mindful of its need to accommodate registration that is current, IDN registration that's currently being accepted, probably the only thing we need to decide is whether the impending protocol revision is going to have any effect on our own timeline or not. We can't go into details of individual characters. So either we accept that the current IDNA is an adequate basis for proceeding with some IDN on the top level, or we decide that we need some for the protocol issues to be resolved. But again, noting that every effort is being made to see to it that that's not going to have a disruptive effect on anything that could possibly appear in an IBM PLD label, other than making new characters available for that purpose, as the buyer just mentioned.
Could it be back in the queue? This is Vernon.
Thank you. I have you back in the queue. I have you off right now.
Yeah, I just wanted shortly to say that me personally, I think I have no problem if ASCII TLTs were to be postponed until IBM TLTs were launched. I see no problem in having that hosted while for 10 years the world has been waiting for IBM and nothing happened. So waiting a little for new IBM TLTs is for new ASCII TLTs. I don't think that any real harm would happen to the world. But anyway, I think that the last proposal of Sabaya sounds reasonable, and this is, maybe we should go that way. That's it.
I have Warner in the queue.
Okay, I would just like to caution against the view that the protocols handle these policy issues. I mentioned the accents because the protocol considers characters that have an accent as different from ones that don't have an accent. However, in policy, we realize that this actually conflicts with the actual use of language, where very often in uppercase, the accents are removed, sometimes have to be removed, depending on the language, in some cases could be removed. And then we have very quickly policy issues as to whether an accented character must be reserved against another one and so on. And this is actually not as easy as it will look. And this, in specific cases, actually the protocols decided just to avoid looking at the problem, leave it a registry issue under registry policy. So again, the registry in a specific case will be able to deal with it, but ICANN probably as a whole and an IEN working group would be in a too large a group and too diverse a group to deal with a specific problem. Therefore, I would really want to caution against the view that we could resolve all the problems before starting.
Thank you. So at this point, it seems that we are going to be stuck with an inherent contradiction in two statements, and perhaps what we need to do is to promote this alternate view to the alternative view to a support view, and have a note that says that the working group recognizes that this view is in conflict with the prior view stated. You know, or something like that.
Rom?
Yes.
May I perhaps, because, we're not at the end of 4.1.1, actually, because there were two modifications or proposed for support statements as well, and that is the third support statement, to which this is quoted as an alternative view. Support for options to reserve IBM GTLD strings in case the first application round can only address non-IBM GTLD applications fully. That has also been proposed by at least more than one that should be demoted to alternative view rather than having support. So maybe... if there is, we can replace that support statement with the resolve IBM policies before launch of application round and put, shift those two, even if there is some inconsistency with the very first support statement.
Okay. Does the working group have an objection with this strategy? All right, Olaf, please go ahead and do that.
Okay.
What's next?
And also, in between, there is, again, a proposal in 4.5.1, the second support statement. It says, as it reads from the version 2.3 draft, support for first application round open to both non-IDM GTLDs and IDM GTLDs is possible. And there was an addition to that proposed by Sophia. as long as the IDM criteria setting process is completed. To add that at the end of that statement. And I've seen no objections to that, but whether that means assent or oversight, I don't know.
Could you repeat the phrase that was proposed?
Can I ask for a point of clarification, the first?
Why don't you repeat it and then Terry's point of clarification.
Yep, I repeat it first. Support for first application round open to both non-IDM GTLDs and IDM GTLDs, if possible, as long as the IDM criteria setting process is completed.
Okay, Kerry, your clarification?
It is about the remit of this working group. Are we supposed to be commenting on the non-IDM application phase?
Yes, we are.
We are, okay.
I mean, that's in our remit. We should review the new TLD recommendations and comment on that in case there were opinions and views going astray with what's done in that one.
Ram, this is Tina in the queue.
Thank you, Tina. You have the floor.
Okay. I just want to mention that in Liz's email out today, and I know it's just recently she sent it out, Principle 2 says, some new generic top-level domains may be internationalized domain names subject to the approval of IDNs being available in the root. So my comment is that with that principle in the PDP for new GTLDs, you know, I kind of feel like this support statement is maybe not so necessary.
Okay, so there's a proposal on the table to remove this support statement. Any comments?
Subhaya would like to make a comment.
Okay, Subhaya?
Yeah, I mean, again, this is an issue. I mean, if I understand Tina correctly, she's saying that this clause is already covered in the other thing, therefore it's redundant.
That's what I heard. Sorry, go ahead, Tina.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm at the ITF meeting, so I mute and unmute so you don't get all of the back noise, hence the little delay. Anyways, I think, you know, why is it something that the other group has already agreed on? And not to, you know, keep in mind that we're just a working group. They are actually a formalized policy development process group. So this has already been agreed on and decided, and it's going to be implemented, so I don't really know why it's necessary for us to even have the conversation.
May I comment on that?
Go ahead.
Has that been voted on yet?
This is Aubrey. This is Aubrey. Can you put me in the queue also?
Has this been voted on yet, Tina?
No, but it's the report. It's in the report that Liz sends out as the press report that I agreed on.
My take on this is very straightforward, that the first, it's not voted on yet. Secondly, our job, as far as I understand it, sure, we're a recommendation group. We just make recommendations. It's so, you know, if we're going to make a redundant recommendation, then it just means that, I'm talking about it in terms of philosophically, you know, we're making a redundant recommendation, and so be that. And the people who are going to vote are going to take a look at it. And to leave it out means that potentially we're leaving the if there's enough support for this from the rest of us, we're leaving the importance of that out. That's the point that I think I'm trying to raise. And I think possibly, if I may be paraphrasing, I'm not sure whether Avery's going to be saying that. Anyway, Avery, you.
Thank you, Subhaya. Avery?
Yeah, thanks. I think I'm saying something similar to what Subhaya assumed I'd be saying, is all of these groups are subgroups to the council. They're all going to feed in their reports to the council. Yes, one is a committee of the whole that's specifically working on the policy, but it also, both the council has said, we need to understand any IDN implications and so on. I think Liz is correct that assuming all work is done, there may be IDNs in any of the rounds, but maybe is still a loose word. And I don't see any harm, I mean, in basically including a recommendation, support level recommendation in this, even if it does complement something that people hope happens anyway. And at the point about the recommendations of the committee as a whole not yet being approved either by that committee and certainly not by the council yet, means there's still a lot of room for discussion.
This is Yoavi also on the queue, please.
Thank you, and you have the floor.
Thank you. I just wanted to say, I think this is the third issue that we're discussing, where a point was brought up in the PDP working group, and there was also one on we were iterating on the mailing list. And what I wanted to say is that I now understand that this was not at all even voted yet by the council. So clearly, since the council haven't seen our report, and since these are issues that we have some support on, I think that for the sake of the discussion and for the process of deciding on each issue, it is very important. Not only that it's not making a harm, just like Avery said, I think it's very, very important that we put everything in. Because, okay, so the Carrie, there will be maybe another page in this report of things that are already maybe agreed on in other groups, but we are coming from the IDN angle. And this is very important that things that are relevant to the IDN will be put here, even though if they are brought up in the same way or in a different way by other processes, and so I think we should keep this point and other points that we're talking about in the paper. Thanks.
Thank you, Yuan.
Another point.
Go ahead, please.
Pardon, share another point. Okay.
Yeah, go ahead, Sharon.
Okay, first of all, I have to excuse all of you because I was asked something in the last conversation and late today too. Regarding this issue, I support your idea. I am in the middle of school and I think all the things you said is right for me too. Thanks.
Thank you, please. Who was that?
Alex, please. Yeah. Carrie, too, please, Ron.
And Carrie, Alex, and Tinley.
And Tinley. Thank you.
Got it. Alex.
Okay, thank you. I'll be short. I just support what was you have said. Fully support. Thank you.
Carrie?
I am one of the counselors. I will be voting on this. I am mortally concerned about the amount of documentation, not just from this working group, but from all of the processes that are currently underway that council will need to wade through. And I am incapable, as in my other role, being an IDN, contributor to the IDN thinking, I just don't understand why we deliberately want to waste time asking council to read through wording that is not going to affect anything. If it is the consensus of this working group to waste council's time, it just makes it more difficult for those of us who are going to be participating in council's discussion to converge on the true value of what we are doing here. With that, I'm going to leave the subject.
Tom, can I comment on that, please?
I'll have you in the queue. I have Tim Lee next.
Thank you very much. I think it will be a serious travesty to the process of the discussions that we have and the due process that we have undergone in this working group to selectively remove key critical items, even though the fact that it exists as a support of what is already present in these higher level documents. So I seriously disagree with Carrie's point that we are wasting the time of. In fact, we are actually reaffirming but certain points that, for all you know, council may be wavering on certain topics, but the fact is that we have discussed it and we found it to be important, and it adds to their confidence in making certain decisions clearly and forthrightly and confidently. So I think it's important for us to include this, and I certainly support what you have said and the others who have contributed to the support of this point.
Thank you, Tim Lee. You are.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that, of course, it's not my intention or anyone else to waste anyone's time. And I think that what we're doing right now is talking too much on this issue. But I think that important inputs that we're putting in, even though they may be coming from other places also, it's not saying that we should delete it. It's important that we put it there. It's the time that is going to be spent on reading them is residual, and it only makes what the final result may be is that these issues will be decided the same way by the council. So I don't see the problem here. That's it.
This is Aubrey. Can I put in a comment? I'll make it short.
Yes, go ahead, Aubrey.
Okay, I guess as just to throw in another council voice, I think reading this extra paragraph is minuscule compared to the amount of stuff that we're going to have to read based on all external comments and everywhere. And I think it's our responsibility to, as counselors, read every opinion that there is for us to read and understand it and process it. So I guess I disagree with Carrie on wasting our time.
Ron, this is Sophia. Can I say something on this?
Go ahead, Sophia.
Okay, I'll speak also as a counselor, voting counselor, and I just want to say that setting up a working group process to get opinions and provide feedback to the council and not listening to their views is absolutely, that is more of a waste of time than it is, not listening to, actually listening to what they have to say. So in my opinion, I think I will agree completely with what Carrie said. Thanks.
What's apparent to me, thank you. What's apparent to me is that we do not agree on this topic, and therefore my default position from the working group's perspective, I'm going to suggest that we leave it as a support statement, and it does mean that the council does have to do an extra work of filtering to what is redundant and what is not redundant, and we just move on, because I'm actually quite eager to have us talk about the support statements rather than the process for which of the statements should and should not be there. Let's move on as a result, folks. Let's just leave it in here for now, and let's talk about the next issue, which is Olaf, are we at 4.1.3 then?
Well, we would be there, but I have a precious little comment about that, not to say if anything, and it's probably...
Is there any comment on 4.1.3 then?
No, and it's almost perhaps something that could be considered for agreement. Support for promoting public awareness of IDN DTLD application opportunities at an early stage. I mean, we can say again that that's foreseen in other areas, and Tina, you could certainly confirm that.
I'd like to leave it as is, and if you're hearing no dissent or no other alternative views, we'll just leave it as is, and we'll move to 4.1.4. Is there any discussion? Let me call the question. Any discussion on 4.1.3? None. Okay. 4.1.4. Any discussion? None. 4.1.4.
Yeah, sorry. I was just unmuting myself. I mentioned in my note last week, I don't know what that is. I'm being ignorant. And further entrenchment of keyword solutions. I'm not sure I know what it means. So
this is Werner. I might explain.
Please go ahead, Werner.
Hmm?
If I'm the only one, you can explain it offline or just put it in a note.
It may actually be a note in that in a number of countries where the script is such that ASCII domain names are not as comfortable as they would be in the West, there's a proliferation of keyword solutions where people will basically type an expression that is going to be resolved by the name service of the DNS. But it is just a single word without a dot in it, typically. And it is essentially not visible if you're not connected to the same kinds of ISPs. The less we have IDN TLDs and IDN domain names available, the more this kind of solution develops and causes a situation of entrenchment in that as soon as it has developed and has developed a large following, it is almost impossible to take back because people start to rely on it, yet it is a broken internet. These people cannot communicate on that basis with other people, and they don't even know it.
Thanks. The only thing I certainly support that. I just would recommend, and maybe I missed it, putting somewhere an explanation. I may be the only person in the world that didn't know what it was, but just in case there's another person like me, I think we just need to explain it in a document somewhere.
Thank you.
This is Olof, Avery. I suggest to put a line on that in the working definitions.
Thank you, Olof.
That would be great.
Okay, we're done at 4.1.4. Let's go to 4.1.5.
Yes.
Where do we stand on this?
I think there is, for the very first, support for prioritizing languages scripts for the IBM DTLD launch according to demand need, possibly using a notion of distance to ASCII. I think that remains as a support statement if I interpret the flurry of emails correctly.
That is my interpretation as well. So let's call the question, are there any dissenting views to this first support statement?
This is Werner. I would just basically like to modify it in the sense that it is not sure for us if we can say that decorated Latin is less important. We just don't know. But we could certainly say that right-to-left script is certainly important, so it deserves priority. But we cannot say that somebody does not deserve priority. As it be,
Werner, but I agree with that. Would you please write a short amendment to that and send it to the list?
My proposal would be just to remove "than" to decorated Latin, just those four words.
Okay, understood. Is there any opposition to removing "than" to decorated Latin?
Can you read the entire thing in context again, please?
Support for prioritizing languages/scripts for IDN GTLD launch according to demand/need, possibly using a notion of, quote-unquote, distance to ASCII, within parentheses, for example, by giving higher priority to right-to-left scripts. Close parenthesis.
Where does the decorated ASCII come in or go out?
It used to say, for example, by giving higher priority to left-to-right scripts, to right-to-left scripts than to decorated Latin.
Okay, got it.
Okay, thank you. We will close this one. Let's go to the next one. Olaf?
Yes, and there's been support for preferential treatment of applications for particular communities in need of IDN GTLDs, for example, through lower entry barriers, and there's been this expression lower entry barriers has been put into question by quite a few. There are also a number of alternative views, but if we start with the support statement.
Let me call the question. Any support or any comments on this current support statement?
Yes,
yes.
Who is that?
It's Charles Chaban.
Charles, okay.
We need to explain a little bit what is meant when we say through lower entry barriers. That's it. That's my comment. Maybe or an additional sentence or something.
Okay, thank you, Charles. Tinui,
Thank you. And I'd like to clarify that whenever we say that we want to have low entry barriers, there should be specific yardsticks that we use to measure, specific criteria that we use to define what low entry barriers we're talking about. And in my comment that I actually put in, I made it very clear that we should actually prioritize according to financial, technical issues, as well as the criteria of determination by language communities and others who have specific knowledge of what is appropriate for that particular culture.
Can you put Carrie in the queue, too, please, ma'am?
Yes. Subaya in the queue.
Carrie Subaya, okay. Carrie?
Let me start by noting that I firmly believe that there is need for some stratified set of entry-level requirements here. But that need can also attach to small nonprofit organizations in any linguistic or cultural context. So this is the battery of metrics that we apply to this needs to be somewhat richer than we're currently discussing, and it in fact is not exclusively an IDN issue at all.
Thank you, Kerry. Subaya?
First, I would say that, the issue that Kerry brings up about being applicable to non-IDN but to small nonprofits to IDN, but you know, it could also apply to non-IDN small profits. I think that's taken, that's reasonable, and this should be considered. But certainly, you know, this is an IDN wake, so I'm going to focus my comments on the IDN aspect of things. I think the issue of financial and technical barriers, is Charles brought up the question. And I actually put out a long email, several hours ago. I'm not sure if anyone read it. But I'd like to sum up by saying that if the question is what is lower financial and technical criteria and so on, well, I think the key here is what is the minimum requirements that are required? Because if the fear is some instability out there, you know, somehow the internet's going to come down or whatever because of lower technical standards or entry requirements, then, you know, the real issue is what's the who decides? I mean, what is this entry barrier? That's what Charles wanted to know. I think the point is that in IDN communities, which are largely not necessarily, but I think most of the IDN communities we're looking at right now for, that's not just IDN.ASCII, but IDN.IDN, that, you know, where there's truly a big need for the IDN TLDs, then those communities tend to be largely poorer ones. And they're more used to, you know, lower levels of general technology, general finances and so on. This doesn't mean that, you know, it's a question of things like uptime. You know, a registry in the U.S. or the West could expect servers and power outages to be at 0.01% or something, whereas that's not the case, at least. So, but it's certainly acceptable in these communities because that's how they live. Their telephones work that way. In fact, the best yardstick, in my opinion, to assess what the appropriate technical and financial strength. You know, they have to meet minimum standards like IDNA software to be there and, you know, stuff like that. You know, it's minimum stuff. But besides that, the way you decide how much you can lower these standards would be very much probably just looking at the local CCTLDs today. So if you're talking about a country that has a particular, let's say a single country with a single IDN language, well, a poor country. Today it's running a dot CCTLD of some kind, you know, in English, ASCII. And they're operating based on much lower budgets, much lower technical levels, and nobody's really complained in most, the vast of them, majority of cases. Neither ICANN Central, because servers are all dying, the root's dying, or even local customers, because they're used to that level of performance. So that could be a way of measuring, you know, if an IDN is going to be given, TLD is going to be given, related to a language related to a particular country, then whatever operational levels they've shown that is necessary to operate sufficiently in the last several years for, say, the CCTLD equivalent, well, that's the kind of standard that we probably need to set as a lower entry barrier, because that works, and, you know, and most of the IDN TLD users would be, even though it would be a global TLD in that language, probably most users will come from that country anyway, the one where this ASCII CCTLD has been operating in an ideal case. So my summary statement is that the metric to use, it cannot be so low that it screws up things, but a good place to look is the local country itself, and that's vastly less. You know, if you were to look at it that way, compared to local CCTLDs, the criteria, financial and technical, especially the financial, is likely to be vastly less than what ICANN is used to using in awarding CCTLDs in the past. Thank you.
Thank you, Sabaya.
Hi, Sharon, what's your comment?
I have in the queue now, after Sabaya, I have Steve Crocker, I have Sharam, and Alex. And before we go forward, I would like to also make just a very quick observation, which is that I'll just point out that regardless of the nexus of usage, since we're talking about GTLDs, that is, you know, administered by ICANN, we will end up having to worry about or leave out geographic characteristics necessarily. So I have in the queue Steve Crocker, Charles, Sharam, Alex, and Tina. Those are the requests. So time for you, Steve.
Thank you very much, Ram. I listened very carefully and with some empathy to the suggestion that the standards for ccTLDs in less advantaged parts of the world, that standard might be lowered to accommodate their needs. And although I'm very empathetic, it makes me very nervous because the trajectory, the path that would place is not a very comfortable one. Things are likely to get much, much better very rapidly, even in relatively poorly connected parts of the world. Connectivity is improving. Technical skills are improving. Availability of equipment is improving. And as the network takes off, as the number of users and the number of registrants in any domain increases, then very rapidly what looks like an entirely local problem becomes part of the global network, the global fabric. There's plenty of help available, and I think that we all, and I'll speak for myself, would be happy to help organize and get additional resources for anybody who feels in the need for them, from ICANN or from the Internet Society, which engages in an awful lot of outreach, either for operations or for education or for technical assistance with respect to IDNs and other things. So the idea of having a small enclave that meets, quote, the local needs in a way that is disconnected from the overall fabric, it's easy to understand the appeal of that, but I think that ultimately that would not serve that community very well for a very long period. It would only work for a very short period of time, and it would be to the ultimate disadvantage. So I counsel pretty much against that position and suggest that an alternate way to serve that need would be to sort of grasp hold of the issues and move forward rapidly as possible with the underlying technical issues and with whatever support is required.
Thank you, Steve. I have Charles.
Okay.
No, sorry, Ram. I don't need to talk. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I have Sharam next.
Okay, thank you, Ram. Regarding this issue, I support Subaya's idea, and I think this is obvious that there are deep differences between the poor countries and the rich countries. The rich countries are in first world and the third world. And here is a question. The question is, if you want to decrease the limitations and the limitations for the applicants from the poor countries, who is going to set these limitations? I think in this issue, the only men who can have a point on this are the community of that country. There must be some people that know what's going on in the country and what is the potentials of that country. And I think a community from that country and or that language, I think that language can decide much better. Thank you.
Thank you. I have Alex next.
All right. Thank you.
I'll be quick. The outsourcing cost for running .ru 2 years ago was only $25,000 a year. So that was before the oil get much more expensive and money flows in Russia. So actually, to have insurance, that looks reasonable, but to just raise the entry balance so we can make compete the banks then. So, and the higher entry level not showing the commitment, right? So I support the Subaya. So that we need to put just a reasonable entry barrier in the same time we can ask for the insurance for the business. Thank you.
Thank you. I have Tina next.
Subaya would like to join Q later.
Okay, thank you. Tina?
Thanks, Ram. So I just want to mention from an ICANN standpoint, it's really important that there is equal treatment of everybody. But and that is really difficult because high entry barriers in one part of the world are really low in another part of the world. And so it's really difficult to provide some sort of equal way for everybody to apply for something like this. I know that this is something that the CDP or new GPLDs have discussed on how to make it possible for particular communities to have an easier way to apply and be a part of the process. Or I'd like for them to have an entry barrier that is similar in their region to what it is in other regions, which means that they could be different. It's also, for example, something that the registrar community has talked about in terms of ICANN accreditation of registrars, where it is difficult for some applicants to become accredited. As far as I know, none of these groups who have discussed this before in the community, in the ICANN community, have found a good solution on it. So it's something that I think, you know, is viewed really importantly, but it's also something that needs a lot more work in order for it to work from a practical implementation standpoint.
Thank you, Tina. Tobias?
Yeah, I just wanted to touch on a couple of things. Based on what Steve Crocker said, I think that his points, I mean, there are two types of criteria, technically speaking. One is financial and one is technical. I don't think that, from what I understand, anything that Steve said, is regarding the financial side of things. So I think financial issue and treated reasonably separately. I don't think he took any real objection to that. Now, on the technical side, I think maybe you misunderstood me. I am not saying that the standards are standard. What I'm saying is that currently there are CCPLDs that are functioning, all of the 100 of them or more, that are functioning fairly well with standards, with whatever standards they're using right now, probably will be far away from any criteria that has been used in recent years for a new GPLD applicant in English, ASCII. So whatever standard is the last round probably was significantly higher than what is in practice being run in many of these countries, CCPLDs, lots of them, and without any great, concern at this point. Sure, but as of today, today is when we're talking about, or next year is when we're talking about IDN launches. So at that point in time, we know that from a technical standpoint, lots of CCPLDs are able to operate reasonably well without too many complaints from too many sectors at a certain level, which is a lot less than the current applying standards that may be given in the GPLD standard, the general GPLD standard application. So there's a lot of room there to use the standards without actually on a local basis, even by region basis, by looking at what's going on there, without actually affecting anything terribly. Now, as far as the very long term, everybody's going to move on anyway. The existing CCPLDs today that are operating today, probably weren't using the same servers or the same standards as they were 5 years ago because things have moved. They're moving up as well. So I think the gap is very large. And the point is to move some of that gap down in these cases. That's the point that I'm trying to make. And secondly, as regards to what Tina mentioned, I believe Tina brought up the point that you have to be fair in order to be extended for everybody, because that's an ICANN mandate. Well, if that were the case, then what we're now seeing is it's fair because it's expensive for everybody. I mean, that's on the financial side. Well, you can make it fair by saying it's cheap for everybody. You know, you could, that was what I was being suggested as well in my original email, that you want to keep it fair and global for everybody, saying, well, make it cheap for everybody so that the more expensive guys can also participate. If that's the issue is that we're trying to set no, if it's fair, it can be fair at the lower level. It doesn't need to be fair at the higher level. Okay, so that's the point. And lastly, I'd like to mention that the Act specifically required, if I'm not mistaken, of the GNSO in a recent document, that there should be more regional diversity in TLD applicants for next coming round. I think they meant that both in English and IDN in general, I think. And, you know, but it's not going to certainly happen in English if the standards are already very high, you know. But in the IDN case, if standards can be, you know, essentially lowered to meet the regional, the only regional in many ways, CS is global. People using it are probably 95% of the regional areas. Now, you know, if we can lower that standard, that would be an easier way for to meet the GAC request of, you know, more distributed TLDs out there. So more IDN TLDs will probably come out in IDN regions, whereas the English TLDs will continue to go to the west and whatever, but overall there will be a geographical diversity. This would seem like a way by simply reducing the entry barriers and making it fair for everybody. Now, if GAC is really serious about this issue, well, and if you don't have a mechanism to automatically allow for this, well, in principle, GAC in the future could be mandated. Maybe there's a quota system. That would be even worse, I think, to most people in ICANN.
Thank you,
could I answer that, please?
Warner, go ahead.
Yeah. I think actually a simple example might show how Steve Crocker and Chris Tobias agree. In 2000, there was criteria used in terms of throughput for the shared registry system in terms of how many requests for new domain per second can you send. And, of course, depending on the number of expected domains in a TLD, it is totally nonsense to expect to have a throughput of 100 new domains per second. However, on the other hand, if we talk about the resolution capabilities of a set of TLD servers, nobody would reasonably say that a given community should be okay with 95% resolution capability. 5% of the time, the domain would not resolve. That is, that would, of course, be nonsense. So, and it's, as Keith said, there's plenty of help available to make sure that we're using that type of TLD service, and there is actually current practice in the TLD community. There's no problem in that. There's even possible anything, which is okay. So, we could simply add a phrase for the current support statement, such as, without endangering adequate service levels of the community.
Thank you, Lena. Are there any other...
I just wanted to make one other point, Subhayo, minor point.
Okay, if you could make a question.
Very quick. You know, on the technical side, if you set very high, the difference in cost, between very high standards and a slightly lower standard is actually, it's non-linear. If you ask for, 0.01%, a non-failure rate as opposed to 0.01 a failure rate, the cost can be dramatically different, and that's the kind of thing that we could allow for, while we know that, the lower one will not probably break anything, the calamity. Thank you.
Let me insert just briefly. I'd be delighted to have that discussion on the side, not bother the entire list, and try to sort that out in a sensible way.
Thank you. In fact, that's precisely the direction I was moving, which is that I think we've allowed adequate opportunity for everybody to have their perspective come through on 4.1.5, the statement. I think we have a reasonable proposal from Werner to modify the official statement. Olaf, if you could please take note of that, that out as a suggested modification, and allows us to move on to 4.2.1.
Could please repeat your statement or the addition that you wanted to make to
what I proposed was to add without endangering adequate quality of service for the respective community.
Rob, I would like for Werner to post that to the list, and for other members who want modifications to modify, please. And I'd like to move on to the next topic, which is 4.2.1. 4.2.1 currently says support for considering local, regional, pre-existing developments regarding IDN GTLDs, for example, the experimental IDN system supported by the Arab League when considering introduction of new IDN GTLDs. And you all have had some suggestions as well as others. Let's open this topic for discussion now.
Could you put me in the queue? It's all up here.
Go ahead.
Right. I think I've seen a lot of the comments going in quite a few and rather stretching this into territory where I would feel that it would be tantamount to some kind of blanket recognition of alternative routes. And that is, well, then we're... addiction to ICANN's mission, really, which is the single route. So I think we, as it's worded right now, for considering, well, yes, consider you can always do, but to go further than that, I mean, we should also keep ICANN's mission in mind here.
Can we hear?
Okay, can we? You're in the queue.
Can I come? Thank you. Can I come back on that point? And I think that is precisely the point. You recognize that the alternative, so-called alternative routes or independent deployments, or as Avery mentioned, those that have gone ahead to experiment with IDN TLDs without central support, if you recognize that, you will suddenly realize that this is indeed ICANN's mission to defragment an already fragmented domain name space. And it's exactly what we're trying to do, to bring them back into the fold, because if you don't, they will forever be out there. So this is entirely within the ICANN mission to bring them back by affording them some degree of recognition that they have not had central support in going ahead with their IDN. Belatedly, ICANN now and the ICANN community now has recognized that what they are doing is the right way forward, that we should take into consideration IDN at the TLD level. And therefore, in this state here, we are basically trying to say, please come back in the fold, because let's keep the unified group.
Thank you. Can we?
Can Carrie ask a question, please?
Sure, Carrie, go ahead.
I'm wondering, this recognition of the roots, of the segments of the namespace that we are now welcoming back into the fold. Do the labels that appear in any of those root zones have any priority in the way you're looking at this in the application phase for the legitimate TLD labels?
Subaya would like to be in the queue.
Okay, Subaya in the queue.
Oh.
Anyone else who'd like to be in the queue?
This is Tina in the queue.
Okay, Tina.
Oh,
I had Steve Crocker, I had Alex, okay. All right, Subaya.
I'd like to say that, you know, basically the statement as it stands is just as considering. No one is, I think at this point, saying that they have to be accepted, that these things that have already been done have to be accepted. I think...
Actually, sorry to interrupt, Subaya, I think on the mailing list there is such a request. Not in the document, but on the mailing list.
Okay. But anyway, my own take on this is that the idea would be that before I can proceed in an IDN GTLD launch in a particular area, it will consider and consider what's happened, you know, work with the local community, figure out what's happened in that area. Now, if it so turns out that there is a pre-existing development, now, you know, as far as this alternate route, and as Olaf brought it up, I've never heard a proper definition of alternate route over the last 10 years. It has always changed. It has changed every single time. We've been, you know, I've been involved in IDN development from 1998 or 97. Every other year, ICANN's idea of what an alternate route seems to change, you know, and it's just a slippery slope. And what is allowed is so-called an ICANN view has changed, you know, appending ASCII labels at the end and resolving was completely disallowed, or at least, you know, was thought it was to be a bad idea in year 2000 or 2001. It keeps changing. There's nobody at ICANN with very much institutional memory who pronounces on these things every 2 years, somebody else. So let's leave that aside, this idea of what is being used, either an ally, whether it's an alternate route or a proxy or whatever. The issue is the core issue that people have gone ahead and done what they thought is possible while pretty much following the IDNA standard and every other standard that's out there. But besides that, they added a layer to something that they're doing, which allows them to do it themselves while there was no central coordination by ICANN or anyone. So, you know, so that's what happened. So to characterize it as these different things is really, you know, as long as they kind of followed IDNA and be generally right, that's okay. Now, then the issue is, once you look in and say, look, a group or groups have already done something in that country or region, the question then is to figure out with the local community how genuine is that, how much support is there for it, and on a case-by-case basis, figure out what to do. Now, it may well turn out to be the case that in some countries, like we all know about China, they're not going to give up, very most likely. They're just going to say, we've already done this, please accommodate us. That's probably what they will say to ICANN. I don't see that for them. You know, they've in the past been very, you know, in 2002 or 2003, they've been very vocal about all this. So if that's what happens, so it may turn out in that particular case, what will end up happening in a compromise situation would that ICANN will pretty much work together with China, and they will sort out that language with the country. So in the sense, everything will become unified. So, you know, they won't be defragmented, as Cindy says. Now, in other countries, maybe, in other situations, it may turn out that when they go into that country and they take a look and you realize whatever deployment there is small or there's no unified group that you know, that there's reason to think that, you know, that whatever happened before is not, you know, doesn't go above a certain bar. So, you know, a different kind of paradigm has worked out over there. And, you know, and this will be on a case-by-case basis in the few places where people have already done this. Now, to answer Carrie's point, is there a priority that whatever people have already launched in this country, that becomes, one can't apply for it? Well, I don't think that, at least in my opinion, that is the case. You know, it will be considered on a case-by-case basis. On the other hand, if you're not going to consider it on a case-by-case basis, you go into a country group and you realize somebody's already done something with a particular CLD or equivalent, and you want to go ahead, and you know, ICANN wants to go ahead and issue the same thing, it'll be, you know, ICANN probably could, but it'd be rather be foolhardy because you'll just be making worse a confusing situation worse, you know. Whereas everybody's looking for centralized support to make all this be right, as Avery pointed out. You know, so if ICANN doesn't take the opportunity that going forward to resolve some of these issues on a case-by-case basis with nothing as a given, you know, then, you know, that'd be a very sensible thing to do, and ICANN will be applauded for stepping in finally into this space to do something good for everybody.
This case-by-case treatment to be prior to the formal application for a domain or after the complete formal set of requirements following an application has been met.
Ram, as the chairman, may I answer Kerry, since I don't think...
please go ahead. That seems to be a clarification, so please do go ahead and respond.
Right. Repeat that question so I can be very crisp about this, Kerry, please. Kerry,
I heard the question was whether this consideration is prior to new applications coming in or after new applications come in.
I would suspect if you're going to require the local community, I mean, obviously it can be done at both levels, but in my opinion, it'd be sensible to do it prior to taking it. To find out, because, you know, I mean, it's easier to fix the problem if you already know, at least find out what's going on in each place. And if a local language community input is being put in, they'd certainly know. I mean, you know. I mean, for instance, when Avery asked the question about what's a keyword, sorry, Avery, I don't need to be rude at all here, okay? But you're a counselor with some deep interest in IDN, and, you know, you, at this stage in time, you've asked what keywords are. But there are people like Werner. I mean, there are people who in the language communities would know automatically that keywords are quite flourishing in a number of countries, extremely flourishing. And, you know, and if you ask people in those communities, they would say immediately, you know, they would know what the issue is and so on. So the best place in general is to ask the community. And when you ask the community, before you do this application process, would be a sensible thing to do, I would imagine.
So up here, can I be on the queue, please?
This is Werner. Could I be on the queue?
Okay. Thank you. I have Tina next.
Thank you, Ram. So I think this is a really difficult topic. Of the alternate IDM system setups that I know at least something about, if not everything about, in some cases. Not all of them follow the IDN standards. Not all of them follow the IDN guidelines. Not all of them are representatives of the community that they claim to be serving. So I think it's really, at least it's not possible for me to support this 4.21 statement as it stands because, or as it's suggested to be expanded, because it's just not possible for ICANN to provide special consideration to setups that do not follow ICANN's mission or the standards that ICANN recognizes. Now, another thing about this, and Subhaya, you brought up several times the community that's being supported and so forth. I actually believe that a lot of these alternate setups and the way that they should be handled belongs much more under the CCNSO GAC Joint Working Group than the GNSO Working Group on IDN Policies. And the reason for that is that a lot of them look, you know, at least to me on the face, as if they were some sort of internationalized CCTLD or territory representative top-level domains and not generic top-level domains. So I actually think that this support statement should be removed completely from this report.
I would like to address Tina's points later on.
Okay, I'll put you in the queue, Subhaya. Tina, any other points?
I think for now I'm good. I might join the queue later.
Thank you. I have Steve Crocker.
Would it be Sharam on the queue?
Okay, I'll have Sharam on the queue as well. Steve Crocker, you have the floor.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly which point I'm responding to at this thing. But
sorry, this is we're on 4.2.1 support for considering local, regional, pre-existing developments regarding IDN GTLD. For example, the experimental IDN system supported by the Arab League when considering introduction of new GTLDs. That's what was written, but on the mailing list we have other suggestions, including the incorporation of quote-unquote alternate route system.
Earlier, the term alternate route seems to not be clear in everybody's mind what it means. In my mind, it's always been extremely clear. It means that instead of sending a DNS query to one of the 13 official root servers, it goes off to some other database that has got a different list of top-level domains. That's not a very helpful path and leads ultimately to fragmentation of the network. I understand that there's this strong desire to have local needs met and a sense of frustration that they aren't being met fast enough. And I also understand that there are other ways of accomplishing things that have the same end effect by having translations that are buried in the or embedded in the local interface, in the user software. That's a wholly different matter from a technical perspective, even though from the end user's point of view it might seem similar. And the test as to why that's different has to do with what happens if you take that machine with you to go to another place around the world, or you try to resolve names from a different place around the world, or you send a domain name to somebody else and then they try to resolve it. The basic idea is that one should be able to trade names back and forth, and everybody should get the same answers wherever you do it from. So the idea of establishing alternate routes and having different operators sell or encourage the creation of new top-level domains independently is simply going to lead to collisions and fragmentation all over the place, and I think that has to be discouraged. I would choose words of the order, not based on authority or what kinds of things ICANN chooses to decide, but on the basis of what things are feasible and what works. I think ICANN's fundamental role is to help the community with the things that that are technically feasible, as opposed to making arbitrary decisions. And so it's not really so much a question of authority or political brokering, although I know that looks that way sometimes.
Please, I have Alex next in the queue.
Thank you. I think ICANN will contribute much more if he will considering in case by case, by case, because the work was done in local levels. So I actually agree with Subai, and yes, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. I have you off.
Yes. First, I would like to start with a very general say that we either fix it for once or it will break. And it's already kind of broken, and I think we should fix it. And I think I hope everyone understands what I mean. I don't want to. Most of the issues were other people were talking about. I don't want to repeat it. I just on one point that Tina brought up, that some of the implementations, I don't know, I'm not too familiar with all of them, that are not following the IDENA protocol and everything. Well, that could be, Tina, something that once ICANN comes and decides on as I brought up in the email, on a case by case basis, to require a change and to require whether there is this kind of an implementation and it is something that you cannot ignore, then in order to include it as formally within ICANN, to require the changes that need to be done. I don't think it would be too complicated to accomplish that. And finally, I want to be a little practical. The funny thing here is that this issue became controversial after it was already there was a support statement in this in the paper, and I just want to elaborate on it because it was only one example regarding the Arab League, and I certainly think that the China case should be, if we talk about the Arab League, we clearly should talk about the China and other general community in that communities that these things on a smaller scale. And I think we should maybe try. I certainly think we don't need to lead this thing because, and I also hear support for this point in the working group. I think we should try maybe to walk through the final wording that was proposed by Kim Lee or by Hong Su and maybe accept one of the both, one of them, so as a final wording. That's it.
But can I come on? Can we?
Okay, I have you on the queue. Thank you, Yoav. Werner?
Yes, I think it's important to make a distinction between speculative attempts to create an alternate route and sell pre-registration, and a generally accepted solution that has been brought about and quite a bit of attention as an intermediary test for a solution in view of actually getting the final solution, which is the IDN TLD. And in this case, the Arab League and the Chinese solutions are certainly things that should be accepted. And we could probably use a phrase such as developments that are generally accepted in the community as a proviso. In terms of what Tina said, that this would be only an IDN CCTLD question, I beg to disagree, because specifically in the case of China, we have two and one law, which were introduced as words for equivalent.com or .net company or network, that were introduced, and they are certainly not IDN CCTLDs. They are certainly have the GTLD, but it could certainly be other cases like that. So it is not something that being done.
Ram, this is Hong. Can I be in the queue?
Sure, Hong, I have you in the queue.
And Ram, at some point, I wanted you to respond to Tina, so I should be in the queue, I guess.
I do have you in the queue.
That's okay, no problem. Let me get this. Thank you.
Thank you. And in fact, you are next in line, Tobias. Go ahead.
Oh, if Hong Kong wanted to say something, she can, because I've already said it.
I understand, but okay, there are a number of others between you and Hong, so I'd appreciate if you would get on the line and make your comments.
So I just wanted to point out again what Werner said that about what Tina mentioned. We're talking about IDN TLDs right now, meaning the countries that really need them. I mean, IDN.ASCII has solved it for the Western script in many ways already. So if this is the group we're looking at, the truly disenfranchised on the IDN TLDs, China accounts for probably a third of the users, you know, probably a third of the users, and they've already gone ahead with more or less, you know, two GTLDs, as Werner pointed out. So by far, in terms of bulk numbers out there probably, you know, GTLDs are the ones that have been deployed in this sort of perhaps alternate way at this point in time, okay? So it's not I would say. That secondly, I'd like to address this as a way of solving the issue. Maybe just be focused on the actual text that fits and see what modifications we can all live with and move forward. So from that point of view, I think it's, you know, going to propose as a modification to the original text. It probably includes stuff that I think believe that Hong Kong brought in and Avery suggested and a number of others suggested earlier. So my suggestion is to keep the statement the way it is, except for adding a few clauses. First, the key thing is the word considering is still there. So it doesn't, you know, obligate anyone, you know, 100% or anything. Okay? So but what I wanted support for considering. And then you can add a phrase, and not penalizing any local, regional, pre-existing developments, blah, blah, blah. So not just consider that everything was arbitrary, that the previous stuff should not be penalized in particular, okay, as long as they're willing to withdraw. And so for considering and not penalizing, blah, 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 and then run by the Arab League, IDN system run by the Arab League, followed by China and other countries in a smaller scale, so we include, you know, recognition that other people have also done it, when considering introduction of a new IDN GTLDs, period. That's what it is for. But we could add the phrase to avoid potential confusion / backlash and leave it at that. So I'll read the whole thing one last time and then get off the line. What I'm proposing. Support for considering and not penalizing any local, regional, pre-existing developments regarding IDN GTLDs. For example, the experimental IDN system run by the Arab League, China, and other countries in a smaller scale, when considering introduction of new IDN GTLDs, to avoid potential confusion backlash. And that's what I've been saying. And the last point is that almost everyone who has launched IDNA, I mean IDNA, more or less 80-90% followed IDNA. In fact, There are very well-known cases that didn't follow IDNA for a while. For instance, race was used in very scientific about a year before they switched to Unicode. But more or less, they were there. It was just the format was different, which they switched later on. And certainly as a requirement, if ICANN wanted to reach out and work with people in cases where what they've done might be accepted or something in some way, then, you know, the people, they're obligated to fully follow the IDNA standards. That's obviously the problem. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I have currently the following people in the queue. I have Sharon, then myself, then Sydney, Hongzi. Anybody else wants to be in the queue?
Ram, this is Tina back in the queue.
Okay, Tina back in the queue.
Ram, this is Yoav. Just something general. There's a lot of echo on the line. If someone is using the speaker, please put on mute. I think that we're all suffering from the same thing.
Thank you, Yoav.
This is Aubrey. This is Aubrey. Can I also be in the queue?
Okay, Aubrey, I'll put you in the queue. Okay, Sharon.
Okay, thank you, Ram. Pardon? Do you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. I want to first support this point, and there was an argument on this point. Someone said that the previous developments are not helpful. I want to say that there are two aspects. One is the technical aspect. In the technical aspect, this is true. Yes, maybe the persistent development have a conflict with the IDNA, but I think this will not finally affect the situation, because ICANN will finally force his rules, and every applicant must obey his rules. Yes, but there is another aspect that I want to mention more. And this aspect is the cultural aspect. I want to say that the previous developments have a very, very important position in developing cultural aspects to use the internet much more. I think that these developments are now playing a role in creating the culture of using the IDNA, and this must not ruin these previous words. So I want to support this issue, and I think Suwaya's idea on changing the text is good too, because they are not only Arabic working on this situation. We in Iran, there is a company which is working on this in cooperation with the Iranian CCTL registry. That's all. Okay.
Thank you, Sharon. I had placed myself in the queue, and after me I have Tinley, Hongzhi, Tina, and Aubrey. In this topic, for this specific issue, I am going to take off my chair hat and speak as an employee of Affilius, which operates the .info TLD. I'd like to state the following point. If, for instance, .info has been already used, exactly the initialism, not some other word semantically meaning similar, but exactly the initialism of .info, if, let us say, it has been used in some other language or some script, and we follow or we recommend that such a... what I would consider from the .info registry, clearly confusing, clearly fragmented, and really something that is a rogue registration system. If that is then incorporated into the mainstream, my concern as a .info registry operator is registrants would probably come to us. Probably come to us and ask for us to support this system. I'm also concerned about other issues such as dispute resolution, the fact that legitimate users in the .info TLD potentially get
got preempted by some set of people who decided to just go and create some namespace of their own, and then there is a request to integrate it in. So I'm pretty concerned about those kinds of aspects. I am very convinced that there is going to be user confusion in terms of what the user experience is. And I also do think that although it is the suggestion is that it will unite what is already fragmenting, without due care and due caution, I actually think that what this is going to result in is further fragmentation rather than unification. So that's just directly from a dot info registry perspective. I will now go back to putting my chair hat on. And pass the floor to Tin Wee.
Can I have clarification on the last comment that you made, Ram, wearing your hat as affiliate staff?
Sure.
And that is, why do you think that it will lead to more fragmentation when our whole exercise here is that there are countries and there are groups out there who have been telling ICANN all the while, ever since that they've been waiting for the deployment to come along, that now, finally, I can realize that it's a good way going forward for enabling a new wave of expansion of the Internet being the global information infrastructure that will cater to the needs of people of all languages. Why do you think that it will increase the fragmentation?
Because I think what will happen is between the time this recommendation goes in, if it is actually acted upon, I expect probably 20 or 30 other new groups to come about who will simply go and register .info in new alternate systems, because we now have said that we're going to grandfather all of that in. And that's where I see there is going to be a problem. And again, I'm talking about .info and its initialism rather than some semantic equivalent.
Yeah, well, I did the survey last year, and we looked at it, and we have found that people have been fairly responsible about making sure that there is no collision.
Well,
so if that's the case,
I understand what you're saying, but that's for responsible players. I don't think the world we're in consists of primarily of only responsible players, and that's my concern.
Was that Werner?
Yes.
Can I continue? And then, if that's your point, then I'm basically saying that the least you could do is not to penalize those people who have have been pioneering the IDN for a long time, basically pointing the way forward for IDN to be deployed, and pointing the way forward for ICANN. And here you are turning around and saying, oh, well, thank you very much. Thanks very much for all the pioneering efforts, and goodbye to you. I think we should not penalize these groups who have taken the risk of setting up these, pioneering these IDN deployments to pave the way forward. And to basically not recognize them or fail to recognize, consider them. And as Tina said, and I really wonder whether, as I can staff, should be making this comment that you should have completely removing this particular statement, actually helps at all. In fact, by removing these statements, I would say it will even further accentuate that problem by saying to these people, we don't recognize you, I'm sorry. But we're going to do exactly what you're doing now, 5 years later. Exactly what you're doing, and you stand in a queue. Now, the fundamental inherent unfairness of this becomes so obvious that you're going to have lots of problems. And if you continue to fail to recognize that the fact that the horse has bolted out of the floodgates have already opened, and people who choose not to recognize this fact will continue to live in an unreal world.
Thank you, Timmy. I acknowledge what you're saying, but I'm going to keep moving our queue forward. I understand exactly what you're saying.
Thank you.
Hong Ji is next in the queue.
Okay, thanks, Ram. The issue is in 4.2.1.
my opinion, should be looked at from two perspectives. The first perspective is look at the local language community. For some pre-existing IDN development, they are the consensus of the local language community, and they are genuinely serving the community. And it's really important to bridge the digital divide in that community. In such circumstances, I really don't believe ICANN should deprive the user in that community from enjoying the services of such IDN development. And if ICANN does so, it will be inconsistent with its purpose of development of IDN, and inconsistent with the principle of internationalization and multilingualism. Look at the second perspective, which I believe is equally important, that whenever the pre-existing development has been brought into the ICANN IDN process, they should be able to be compliant with all the ICANN requirements, including the policy requirements and technical standards. So they should be complying with IDN guidelines. That's not a question at all. And they should also be following the ICANN policy. And many people mentioned about the CC, the CNX sort of testbed registration for .网络 and .公司, the equivalent to .network and .company. I don't know their really technical design, but as a user for .cn, I can explain that they are solely operated under .cn. So arguably, they are not alternative ETLDs. They are not alternative groups. They are operating solely under .cn. So there's a shortage of groups.
Thank you, Hong. I have Tina next.
Thanks, Ram. So I actually don't know if I'm understanding things the right way, but if we talk about not penalizing and allowing these alternate IDN setups to be considered before anyone else can apply, and if we're talking about grandfathering them in and all of those things that have been said, that to me seems like preferential treatment. And preferential treatment, because somebody has set up an alternate system, and in some cases an alternate root system, I think is not okay. Anybody can set up an alternate root system if they want to. It's not that difficult. If we put this support statement in there, we're going to have a flood of alternate root setups of all kinds of people across the world who want preferential treatment like that. I don't think that's okay. I think that's directly against ICANN's mission, and I think that's very problematic. Now, I think everybody should have equal access. I think participation is okay. I think everybody can apply at the same level as everyone else, but there should not be preferential treatment to people who've set up alternate routes. You know, people who've done early IDN implementations, of course, should participate in the IDN development. The protocol development is open. There's lots of working groups that are open for participation. There's, there's this working group who had added up servers to include some of those people who have done early IDN implementation. Participation is okay, but preferential treatment when we talk about applications is not okay. We're going to have a lot of people doing that if we allow anything like that, and it's just going to damage the whole setup, and it means that those who legitimately need these internationalized top-level strings won't get them, or if they will get them, it will take years from now, and I don't think there's anybody on the call who wishes for that to happen.
Thank you, Tina. I have Avery.
Okay, yeah. One of the things, I guess one concern I had was adding specificity to the notion of who would be supported. And what I had been trying to suggest was that there should be a general statement of support that people who had worked previously on trying to do IBM development when ICANN wasn't quite ready for it shouldn't be penalized for that, shouldn't be called illegitimate. Now, by the same token, I'm not saying that they should get preferential treatment or in any way be grandfathered in. And that's why I'm suggesting that we should do our utmost to support the legitimate work that has gone on before and not exclude it or penalizing it. But I think to go so far as to say that anybody that worked on IBM before was in some sense illegitimate and supporting them would be against, you know, ICANN principles is going too far in the other direction. And so really what I was trying to call for is let's not single out who needs to be supported. Let's just sort of say recognize that there has been work done before, you know, the ICANN centralized work is being completed, and that ICANN should do it its utmost to support that work insofar as it fits in with what's being done without all the specificity. Thanks.
Thank you, Aubrey. Warner.
I actually would like to, again, try to get those two views together because certainly what Tina says is correct. We shouldn't make any preferential treatment. On the other hand, we all know that the legitimate efforts that are supported by the language community, overwhelmingly supported by the entire language community, should give an adequate consideration. Right now we have to consider in it, which is not too strong, which is not, say, give preferential treatment. And the changes that Subhaya put in, I think, are useful, but probably we would have to add specifically provide in terms that we want this to be developments that have that are generally accepted by the respective language community, not something that has been done in a speculative fashion, just, you know, in a corner, and then say, here, no, here am I, I'm a pioneer. We've had these people 10 years ago already.
I would agree.
Thank you, Werner. Edmund.
I guess, looking at time, I'll be brief. Most of what Tina, Avi, and Werner said, I you know, pretty much agree. And I want to bring up one issue that Tinley mentioned, that it would be, I guess, sort of unfair for those who've stuck it out. I guess that shouldn't be too much of concern, if because those who do have the support from the community will eventually go through the ICANN process as, you know, any other applicant, and that won't be any problem. So making that sort of assumption or statement is probably premature and most likely sort of untrue.
Thank you, Edlin.
Sharon, on the queue again, please.
Okay, Sharon, you have the floor.
Okay. Should I speak now?
Yes, please.
Okay. I want to say that I'm not, I don't accept it, what Tina says. I think we should not just look at this point technically. We should have a view in all aspects, in all views. Okay? Thanks.
Subhaya, I'd like to see whether we can get some wording we can all agree on.
Okay, Subhaya, go ahead.
Let me reemphasize again. The draft as it stands, the original one with the modifications I suggested, and we could include the one that Werner said looks supporting the language community or something, which Hong Zhu also just said, in effect. She kind of mentioned the same thing as Werner. If we add that one in as well, the current statement just says considering. It doesn't grandfather anything. It doesn't do anything of that nature. Okay, to say I don't really see where Tina is getting that from. I mean, it doesn't say it's grandfathering. It doesn't say automatically these people will get it or any of those things. It just, and as I mentioned earlier, it's on a case by case basis, right? I mean, you know, we can add that if you like in there now. Here's the reality of the situation. The reality of the situation is no matter what you write here or you don't write here, there will be a time and point where in the future where something will be launched, say, in a particular language, some movement has already happened previously. Let's just say, you know, in some cases, you know, way of doing it, we'll go forward, a new TLD will turn up, and it'll be supersede what happened before in that community. Then there'll certainly be some communities where that will not happen. They will fight back. They will, or will in this real world, they will stay their course. I suspect China will be one of them. And I suspect the Arab League is likely to be another one, okay? Because of what they're. So, what do we? Is this what is wanted? I mean, the reality is going to be that certain of these large groups will hold the stand. So, all this statement does is, as Avi points out, essentially is to say it's a recognition, and that there's some support for considering what they've done and talking with them, making sure whether we could find a workable way in a case-by-case basis to move forward. It doesn't say that they have to be grandfathered or any of those things. Now, in terms of addressing the issue that Ram is saying, which is legitimate, lots of people go off and register something, and do they automatically get it? Well, this thing doesn't say they automatically, and anybody's getting automatically anything, as far as I can tell. So there's no real issue there. Now, the question is, should you also sort of consider them? Because
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I was saying that because there is a proposal on the mailing list that
right.
they should be integrated,
right.
not just considered,
right.
but should also be integrated. And that's
okay.
That's
now, my own point is, I don't know. Maybe I'm hearing something different. But I don't think there seems to be support for that at the moment. I don't think there seems to be support for saying that automatically everyone who's applied ever before or in the future in a land rush, you know, say in the next month or weeks, you know, should automatically get this. I think we're beyond that. I mean, you know, I don't think there's support for that. Neither would it, in my opinion, be fair, okay? But so so I'm trying to see what it is that minimally we can agree on. I mean, one is trying to head that way too. Now, then we can see whether at least what we're proposing is acceptable to enough that we can go forward, okay? So that's all I'm trying to do. So I'm just saying the way to achieve that, as far as, you know, the notion, the words like pioneering in there exclude essentially people, sort of exclude the people who would be starting up soon or something like that in some sense. Secondly, you know, the everything will still be a case-by-case basis, and what I'm suggesting also says considering only, so it's a weak enough statement that, you know. So my, again, to reemphasize, I mean, Werner can work out a way to insert another clause in there saying appreciated by the community if necessary, okay, language community. But I'll reiterate what I have put out. Support for considering and not penalizing, and if you want, we can throw in the word pioneering, which gives it some kind of timeline. Support for considering and not penalizing pioneering local regional pre-existing developments regarding IDN and TLDs. For example, the experimental IDN system run by the Arab League, China, and other countries in a smaller scale, when considering introduction of new IDN GTLDs to avoid potential confusion backlash. And, you know, Werner can throw in something about a language community generally appreciated, or Hong Du said the same thing. That's my suggestion.
I would ask that you put that onto the list, and we continue this discussion on the list. Folks, I note that we are about 10 minutes beyond our original allocated time, and I didn't want to cut this important conversation short, but we are out of time, and we are also at the end of this this call. I would like to make the following observation. First, you all have been absolutely wonderful in working together and in bringing, I think, a great deal of forward momentum in the overall area of IDNs, especially in IDN policy. And for that, I thank you, and I appreciate your work and effort. I think we will find, as is inevitable, when we have bright people together, we will find areas that we agree on and other areas that we do not agree on. But I commend you for, in general, keeping a civil dialogue and being able to present your point of view in a reasoned manner. And I appreciate it very, very much.
And I'd also like to say that we would not be here without the able assistance of Glenn and Olaf and all the other staff who have helped us from the ICANN side. I'd like to thank them. And I'd like to say it's been good working with all of you. Of course, we'll be working much more together as IDNs are only at the early stages of life. And as Sophia says, the quote-unquote usual suspects will be around. And we will have a report published for you to comment on before we actually make it final. We will have that out. The goal is to publish a final report to the council by end of the day tomorrow, so it will require your time and attention between today and tomorrow. And
I have one last operational point. We just found out in the last couple of days that some IDN week meeting or just came up on the website that's like Sunday at 9 a.m. presenting to the GNSO or something. And this was not on the website till a couple of days ago. A lot of us have made arrangements, I believe, that don't include coming in early on Sunday. Can that thing be moved around?
I will have to request in. I was not involved in getting that organized, so I was.
I mean, you know, someone like me actually spent a lot of time in the last few weeks checking the website to make sure that there was nothing that was happened on that Sunday, you know, and then we went ahead and made decisions just a few days ago, and now it just turns up a few days before, and I think it's critical for people who have contributed to this work to be there.
Gary, I might be able to comment on that because I asked a very question to Bruce and I can transmit the explanation I was given.
Please, go ahead.
There are two meetings on Saturday and Sunday morning, and this is the new GTLD action. And the first of them is opportunity for the reserved names working group to interact with the TLD folks, and the second of them is for the IDN people to interact, but it is not and was never intended to be a meeting of this working group.
So then is there going to be any representation from this working group at that meeting?
Well, we can take in. I'll be there.
I will be there for sure.
But
I believe Sophia will be there as well.
Well, I think a whole number of us will not be able to. And I think
Subhaya, I would like to say the following. I understand your perspective, and you know, I'm not in charge of central scheduling, so I will pass your request on. And if you could please make a note into the mailing list as well and into the GNSO secretariat. But I understand what you're saying, and
it's frustrating at every level, you know, to find that, you know, at every time when everybody makes a fair effort, there is something that is done operationally that I can that seems to generally exclude people as much as possible, you know, and that's the point that we're trying to address.
And your point is made. Thank you.
Thank you.
I would like to. To just say thanks for everybody for your participation. We will have a report that will come out for your consideration in the next day today, and we'll have it. My intent is to still close on this report by end of day tomorrow, which will require your cooperation and your assistance. And it's been actually quite enjoyable chairing this working group, and we will conclude our work once the report is completed. You know, I will stay on to provide a few reports in Lisbon, but basically as of Lisbon, this working group completes its tenure. Thank you for your participation, and look forward to working with you closely in the future.
Thank you, Ram.
Thank you, Ram.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.